May God use and overrule my words. May God's word only be spoken, God's word only be heard. Amen. Good morning, Ascension. Wow, you look beautiful. I've had such a great morning already with the early service and then seeing all the folks that are being confirmed and received, and then Sydney Warren, who is being baptized. Warren is what we are calling him. He's beautiful already, and so the Holy Spirit will just make him more so. I bring you greetings from the 87 churches and Camp and Conference Center called Camp McDowell that most of you know and love. They are hearing about your ministry across the diocese. You have some really strong leadership in your lay leaders and also in your ordained leaders. I've known Jack Alvey a little while, and he seems to be doing really well. I'm really pleased with him, and if I wasn't, he would know it. And Emily, they seem to be a real team. And you're being blessed with that. All of us are being blessed by their work together and by the support that you are giving them. And I want to thank you for that. And thank you for the support that you give our diocese. A priest friend of mine tells a parable of the pearl of great price to some junior high kids at Camp McDowell. He says, a merchant searches all over the world for the finest pearls, and when he finds it, he sells everything he has, and he spends every penny to buy it. Now you get to go on a treasure hunt, go to the woods and search for pearls, he tells him. And if you find anything unusual, look at it and see if it shows you something of great value. Now, what the kids don't know is that the priest and his wife have already been to the woods ahead of them, and they have hidden little mirrors everywhere. And so the young people go looking for pearls, and they find these mirrors, and almost immediately they discover themselves. They come back to the priest, and he reminds them that they are utterly and absolutely valuable to God, cherished by God. The father spends all he has, his only begotten son, so that the children he treasures can live with him forever. I love that story. Think about how self-conscious junior high kids can be, how much it hurts to feel unloved or unattractive. I have a friend who says there are moments in life when we are all in the seventh grade all over again. We're terrified, awkward, hopeless, unsure of what to do. Each of you is a pearl of great price. God searches for you. And when you are found, God will go to any length to bring you home with him. That is the truth. It's good to remember. God will never let us go, and we are not alone. Everyone feels forgotten and lost sometimes, even bishops. No one escapes it. We might feel lost, but we are never really lost. And no matter what we've done, those things done or left undone repeatedly, God keeps working on us, patiently transforming us. It takes a long old time, and it's hard to wait, but the miracle is happening. No matter how slow and painful the process, God knows that we are priceless and beautiful because the love of Jesus makes us that way. In our story today, Jesus goes up a very high mountain. Like Moses and Elijah before him, mountains were where you would expect to find God. And he takes three trusted followers to witness the meeting. And they are not disappointed. Jesus is transfigured, it says, transformed by power from God. Some kind of light turns his clothes dazzling white. Moses and Elijah appear and they talk to Jesus and they talk about Jesus. And Peter is so terrified, which seems like a perfectly good thing to be, he has to say something. So he says, "This is good, let's build tents." A tent to meet God is what was built on Mount Sinai, a place to meet God. And as they watch the scene, a bright cloud moves over the mountain and God speaks words to Jesus. He says, "This is my son, my chosen." And then for everyone watching, he adds, "Listen to him." And they're terrified as the cloud covers them or as they enter it, Luke says. And when the cloud disappears, they can see only Jesus standing there in silence. And as they leave the mountain, somehow they figure out they're not supposed to tell anyone about this experience until after he is raised from the dead. Traditional interpretation says Moses represents the law, Elijah the prophets, and God's voice saying, "Listen to him," places the gospel of Jesus over against the law and the prophets. It's like God saying, "Now there's Jesus, and here's the law and the prophets." In Mark and Matthew's account of this amazing scene, God's voice says to Jesus, "This is my beloved, my son. In him I am well pleased." The words that God says to Jesus are the same words that Jesus hears at Jesus' baptism. Baptism is when we get a special grace given by God that says, "You are mine and I am really pleased with you." It's the same thing as saying, "You are a pearl of great price." You see, because of Jesus, God says the same words to us, and we are God's children. And the water is living water that gives us forgiveness of sin that we can always have. The oil is a sign that we're sealed by the Spirit deep in us. And the sign of the cross there never washes off, even though it's invisible. And when things are hard or scary, we can always remember we have the sign of Jesus on our hearts and in our lives. And we can say, "Relax, you're baptized." I knew a little boy named Jacob. He was 4 years old at the field site where I did my field work many years ago. He had a sister named Robin. He started to call her Robin. That wasn't really her name. His mom had a black car, and he suddenly began to call it the Batmobile. We explained that he was going to be baptized, and he loved that. And we said, "We'll put water on your head 3 times. And he said, "Yes." And we said, "And then you'll be baptized." And he said, "No, I'll be baptized." "And then I'll be Batman," he said. He's a great theologian. He knew he was going to be connected to a superhero. He just had the name wrong. Connected to Jesus forever is what Warren will be made in a few moments. All of us are. We'll baptize Sidney Warren and mark him as Christ's own forever. And then we'll confirm that the Holy Spirit is still working in all of us, but we will pray with all the faithful people who've come to become part of, officially, the Episcopal Jesus Way of Love. Confirmation remembers our own baptism and simply says, "Yes, it is true." There was a theologian named Karl Barth once who said, "We come to church every Sunday with only one question. Is it really true?" We're all carrying that secretly somewhere. Yes, it is all true, and here's how I know. I know it's true because I have watched the Ministry of Ascension for several years now, and I've seen it love people through terrible losses. I've seen it feed the hungry, celebrate the coming of the light at Christmas, celebrate the resurrection at Easter. I've watched as new people have come here and found a home and a path to love. Churches are schools for love. We're all learning how, and you are a growing and thriving one, and there are fruits of the Spirit all around. We saw some of them march out of here behind a cross a few minutes ago. I've seen how you pray for each other and miracles happen. People walk through sickness without feeling alone. That's a miracle. They find healing when they're hurting. They meet strangers, and then those become friends. I've seen people find a new purpose and hope in the middle of this sometimes very hopeless world. I've seen God's glory in your worship already today many times. Do we all agree on politics? Do we all agree on theology? No, we don't. But do we find a common life together, sharing bread and wine and these prayers we say? Yes. Do we learn how to respect each other's dignity and fight for justice and recognize peace? Yes. Somehow we learn that in the middle of our differences. That's how I know. When Moses comes down from the mountain, his face shines for all to see after he delivers God's commands to the people. Whenever Jesus enters any scene, one writer says, Jesus just stands there like a big, perfect mirror that someone has brought into the room. When people look at the mirror, they can really see themselves. I look at him and see his compassion, and it exposes my self-centeredness. I see his deep love for God and for us, and my hard heart is revealed. We see his courage, and we realize that sometimes we're afraid and we doubt. You take Jesus out of the room, and all those things become relative. Compared to only you, maybe I can think I'm not much worse off, but you put him in the room, and there's no place to hide. Someone said, he is the light of the world. In his presence, people either fall down to worship or do everything in their power to extinguish his light. N.T. Wright, who's a brilliant scholar and theologian, says, for many people, dramatic visions and spiritual experiences like going up that mountain are balanced by huge demands. The more open we are to God and to the different dimensions of God's glory, the more we seem to be open to the pain of the world. When Jesus leaves the mountain, he'll find a little boy waiting for him at the bottom who needs healing, and he will heal him. We cannot escape the world's pain. Instead, God calls us to love in the middle of that pain. God transfigures Jesus suddenly. One minute he's a dusty rabbi on his way to betrayal and death, and the next he's blazing with resurrection life and talking with residents of heaven. His outward appearance changes, revealing the glory of God, glory that is now and yet to come. I believe God transfigures us. We are changing just very slowly. All our prayer and worship, our work and love for each other, created by the grace of God, gradually whittles away at our sin and sickness and sorrow. Eventually, we too will shine. That reminds me of a saying attributed to Winston Churchill. Maybe you've heard it. He said, "We are all worms, but I do believe I am a glowworm." Imagine this church is our holy mountain. And when we come down and meet the pain of the world, what will God ask of us? A prayer for someone in trouble, maybe? A kind word for someone who is sad? A note to someone who no longer can come to church? Giving a backpack of food to someone who's hungry or to a homeless family? Maybe learning more about a disciplined spiritual life? What will God ask? God will show us, and as we see and serve, we will see a light and a mirror. And God's voice will say, "This is my beloved child, in you I am well pleased." Amen.